Bibles this morning, open to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. About midweek, but especially yesterday, we just had a sense, we hope it's from the Lord, that this morning we needed to bring a message from Matthew chapter 9, 35 through 38, instead of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, shortly we will finish the thought we started a couple of weeks ago about downloading the Word, how to get connected to the Word of God, and how to download the Word into your life. But this morning, we want to turn our attention to a familiar passage of Scripture and not think ends of the earth, but to think a whole lot closer to home. I'm talking about, think about this passage in light of what it means right here in Hardin, Marshall County, Callaway County, Graves County, surrounding area in our lives where you and I live. This morning, if I were to entitle this message, it's going to be Help Wanted. Help Wanted. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, here's what Matthew says. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Whenever I look at a passage of Scripture, whether I'm looking at a Scripture to teach from or to preach from or just to use in my devotional life, one of the first things that I do to get the gist of what the passage is saying is I look for the action word. I look for the verbs. When I was in school, I loved when the teacher asked us to look for verbs because verbs are always easy to pick out. Why? Because they are action words. As you examine this passage, you notice quickly as I was reading that there are three verbs connected to Jesus in this passage. And I want us to look at them this morning. The Bible says that when Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel, and healing their sicknesses and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion. That's the second verb. Compassion. For the people were helpless and harassed like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said, that's the third verb connected with Jesus in this passage. So here's what I want you to grab hold of this morning. And we're going to hang all of our thoughts around these three actions of Jesus. Jesus first went throughout. Secondly, Jesus had compassion. And thirdly, Jesus said. Notice what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that when Jesus went throughout all their cities and villages, now we got to remember, he's in Galilee. He's in the northern part of Israel. That's where his ministry spends most of its time. Now the verb is Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages. Healing, teaching, and proclaiming are not verbs. They're participles. Participles are verbal adjectives, meaning that the phrase healing, proclaiming, and teaching modify, give description to what Jesus was doing as he went throughout all of Galilee. What was Jesus doing when he went throughout all the cities and villages of Galilee? He was healing, he was teaching, and he was proclaiming. Now I want you to get this. We have to be careful when we read the Bible because I believe in our society we may be becoming the very first society who has a disconnect with what's going on around us. I think we've been influenced without knowing we've been influenced. We are no longer a society that goes throughout places. We are a society that goes around places. Do you agree? We are the first generation that could be described as the interstate generation. The bypass generation. I don't mean to take odds with anyone if you fought for this, but I still do not understand why we needed a four lane from Murray to Mayfield. I'm sorry. To get from Murray to Land Between the Lakes, I don't understand why we needed a four lane. But here's what I know. Because of our transportation system, we are suddenly becoming a society that believes in the bypass. We don't want to go through a town anymore. We want to go around the town. Why? Because we are no longer about the journey, we're only into the destination. Therefore, I believe this could describe our generation this morning. I'm talking about us who are sitting here this morning. We want to get there. We want to get it or do it. And then we want to get out. And we want to get on to whatever we want to get to next. Does that describe you? Describes our generation. Therefore, I want us to stop just for a moment. And understand that ministry can't take place on the interstate and ministry can't take place on the bypass. Ministry comes from people who are where other people are. And the Bible is clear to teach that Jesus didn't bypass places to get to other places. Jesus went throughout all the cities and all the villages. He was where the people were. Now let me tell you how this migrates into church life. I want you to ask yourself this question. Did you get up this morning with this on your mind? I got to get to church. So the first objective is just get from home to the parking lot. But once we get to the parking lot, we got to get to our seat. Then once we get to our seat, we observe, we watch, we worship. And then the goal is to get back to the parking lot to get home because we got something else we got to do this afternoon. Not going to ask you to raise your hand. But how many of you fit in that category this morning? I want to suggest to you it's because we live in an interstate society. Jesus, because he did not bypass towns and villages, actually moved with compassion for people. Second verb, compassion. What's amazing about this word compassion is it comes from a Greek word that talks about one of the physical body parts of a human being. And it's not the heart. It's not the organ that pumps blood that we associate with feeling. It's a word that describes the gut or the stomach or the small intestine or the large intestine. This area of the body. Therefore, it was a metaphor that came to mean this, to be deeply moved, to have feelings deep within yourself. Any of you ever been in a situation and what was going on around you made you sick at your stomach? Go ahead, let's see a show of hands. That's what this word means. If I can say this, as Jesus traveled through the cities, as he was teaching people, as he was proclaiming the gospel, as he was healing people, he got sick at his stomach. You know why? See, we got our next participle. He saw the crowds. You know why Jesus was sick at his stomach? You know why he had a feeling deep within him that he struggled with? That moved him? That he couldn't just shrug off and go on to the next thing? Was because he saw the crowds. Now, I don't know about you, but in some situations, I'm not very observant. I get tickled because on the farm, my dad is very observant. He notices everything. We used to tear something on the farm, try to fix it so he wouldn't see it. He could tell we'd fixed it. So now we just call him on the cell phone as soon as it happens and just tell him so that when he gets there, he'll know it before he gets there. Now, on the other hand, I'm not that way. A lot of things I'm just not observant about. We can have people come over to our house. Our kids can come over to our house. They can leave. So Lisa can be telling me something. I'm sitting there going, you got to be kidding. She said, Ricky, did you not hear them? Did you not see what was going on? No, I didn't see it. Now, I don't know if any of you are like me and you have that problem. It's actually possible to be looking at someone and not see someone. When the Bible uses this word see, it's not talking about that Jesus just saw something with his eyes. It means Jesus comprehended. It means Jesus perceived. It means Jesus knew what was going on. Why was he moved with compassion? Because he understood the situation of the crowd that he was within. You know how the Bible describes them? As sheep without a shepherd. But it uses two adjectives to describe them. They were harassed and they were helpless. Now I know sheep metaphors don't mean anything to us because we don't have sheep in this area. But sheep are followers. Sheep are a dependent creature. They are a prey animal. They need a shepherd. Their survival depends on a shepherd. They are needy. But these two words that Jesus uses, wow, they reveal how sick at his stomach as he was. When he saw this crowd of people, now get this, the crowd of people were coming to him. So if I can say this, they were coming to church. The head of the church was there. The people were coming to church. They were listening to him teach. They were listening to him preach. They were coming bringing those that were sick. They had great faith that he could heal. But when he looked at them, he described them with two adjectives that just blow me out of the water. The first one is the English word harassed. The second one is the English word helpless. Now, I don't know what you think about harass, but boy, to me, this word isn't strong enough. Because you know what the Greek word is here that Jesus used? It's the Greek word that means to skin, to flay, to lacerate. It was used in the biblical world for the skinning of an animal. I remember the first animal that I skinned. My granddaddy allowed us to squirrel hunt. But he had a belief that if we were going to kill animals, we must use the animal. My granddaddy Bogart loved squirrel, and I remember my first squirrel I skinned. I wasn't very good at it. I'm glad the squirrel was dead. Because you know what I did? I literally took the skin, the hide, off the squirrel. And I was thinking, wow, if he'd been alive, there's no way he would have stood for this. Amen? Because that had to have hurt if you'd been alive. Do you not agree? Now, what you got to understand is this word is a literal word, but it came to be used as a metaphor. We have that very same metaphor in our society. Have any of you ever been skinned alive? Whoa, that does not hurt. I've been skinned alive many, many, many times. I'm not going to point any of you out who have done it, but it always hurts. I never get used to it. That's how Jesus saw the people who were coming to him, people who had been skinned alive. And it moved him in his belly. And he saw them as helpless. The word helpless in the Greek literally means to be cast down, to be thrown down. Means to be scattered. That's why he used the sheep without a shepherd analogy. You know, there comes a time when in life, when life just keeps knocking you down and knocking you down and knocking you down and knocking you down. When you see the knocker coming, you eventually just run. And that's how Jesus saw people. Skinned alive and beaten down, thrown down, not having a chance. Now let me ask you this. Do you see that when you come to Hardin? You know the reason you don't? It's because you got a bypass mentality. You got an interstate mentality. You're trying to get here and get it done, get it over with, and get back to doing what you're doing. See, church to you is a place you go. It's not who you are. How many of you only associate church with Sunday morning, 8 o'clock? See, we get out of the parking lot and we get into our seats. And we go from our seats back to the parking lot. And we never get sick at our stomach. We're never moved with compassion because we don't see who's coming to church. We don't see who's trying to discover Jesus. See, this crowd that Jesus is talking about, this is not a crowd at the far end of the world. This is the people that he ministered to. These are the people that when they heard his reputation, they came to him. He saw them helpless and harassed. When's the last time you opened your eyes and saw some of the small children who attend Hardin Baptist Church with moms and dads? And you got moved for them? Or do you have this reaction? Boy, I'm glad I don't have my kids anymore. I've actually heard people say, I'm glad I'm not them. How cold and heartless can you be? Glad I'm not them. Tell me one time when Jesus had that attitude. Not a time. How can we read every week in the bulletin how much help we need in the preschool children's ministry and it continue to be week after week after week after week? Are we blind? Or do we just be honest and say, I live in a bypass society and I don't know what's going on downtown. I don't really know what's going on because I'm just trying to get there and get around it because that's really not the goal. Church is just where I go. It's not who I am. Does anybody realize what happened when we moved our services partly to 641 and partly downtown on Wednesday night? That all of a sudden all the adults just left. And we got a lot of middle school and high school kids now downtown when all of a sudden all the adults are leaving and then you're driving up to drop your child off and there's no adults on the grounds. Did anybody wonder what a mom would feel like when they're dropping their sixth grader off? Now, praise the Lord, there's 250, 300 middle school and high schoolers downtown on Wednesday night. But someone needs to see what's going on. And go to Corey and say, Corey, man, I can't do much, but I'll tell you what I can do. I can stand at the door. And I can be security. I can help you make sure. Do we not see these things? When we hear of a family who's going through a crisis, how can we hear week after week after week after week and never be moved in our gut to understand how that must feel to them at that moment and not rise up and say, man, do you need any help? What can I do? And I mean it at the deepest part of your being. I think it's because, honestly, we live in a bypass society. We don't notice. Because we don't see. But the reason we don't see is because we're not living within the context of where we are. We're going around. And then, boy, Jesus finished with a strong verb. Doesn't sound like a strong verb. It says, then he said. Boy, when Jesus speaks to me, he's like E.F. Hutton. I better listen. Amen. He commands my respect. He commands my authority. Then he said to the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of harvest that he might send forth laborers into his harvest. Well, if we could just look at this just for a second. I want you to see this. Call me out if I'm seeing this wrong. Jesus didn't glory in having a big crowd of people around him. He saw the people in the crowd. The crowd was never numbers to Jesus. They were individuals who life had skinned them alive. And they'd been beaten down and beaten down and beaten down. And he saw those people not as a burden. He didn't see those people as a problem. He saw those people as a harvest. Now, I don't know if you was raised on a farm or not. But I'm telling you, when it's harvest time, everything else takes a back seat to harvest. Do you agree? Because harvest means urgency. Harvest means this is what it's all been about. At harvest time, a farmer understands. He doesn't determine the harvest. The harvest is not going to determine everything he does for the next few weeks or months. He understands the weather could change. He could understand that if he doesn't get the crops in at the right time, they might rot in the field. And that would not be good to have a plentiful harvest and not get it in. I know sometimes you think these farmers are crazy for running all hours of the night when it's a beautiful, sunny day. They know it's going to rain at some point. I mean, we used to believe it was going to rain at some point. Amen? So therefore, there's a sense of urgency. Now, catch this. The harvest is plentiful. That means it's overabundant. It's overflowing. It's good. But the laborers are few. Have any of you, when you get out of your vehicle and you come into the church facilities, have any of you ever looked around and went, wow, the harvest is truly plentiful? And believed there was a sense of urgency. Believed that maybe time was limited. And believed that maybe it was a call to action to begin to reap what we've sown maybe weeks ago or months ago or years ago. Please don't you ever think the harvest we are having here in Hardin is because of something that happened that last week or last month or last year. We are reaping because of a people who have sown and fertilized and cultivated years and years and years ago. I promise you there were some times years and years and years and years ago at Hardin where they would have never believed there could have been this kind of harvest. There would be this kind of crowd coming to Jesus for teaching or proclamation or healing. Therefore, is it not a time of harvest for us? There must be a sense of urgency. It would be urgent even if there were many laborers. But listen to this. But the laborers are few. I wonder. I'll never know this. But I just wonder if Jesus looked down at our situation, if he would say the same thing. Wow. Brother Ricky, the harvest is truly plentiful. But when I began to count the laborers, they're few. Now this word laborers important to me, and the reason it's important to me is because when I looked it up in my Greek dictionary, it's a word that was primarily used to talk about the labor on a farm. So this is talking about a farm worker. The word comes from a root that means to toil, to labor. Got on the internet last night and went to a government agency, and do you realize, according to this report, last week, unemployment rate in America was 9.6%. That's bad. Good news is, though, 90.4% of people have a job. Who won't have a job? But here's what I didn't realize. They kept saying non-farm unemployment. Now, whenever the news reports unemployment, they just say unemployment, 9.6%. I assume that means everybody. It doesn't mean everybody. You know why it doesn't mean everybody? Because they don't count farm labor. Well, that offended me. I'm a farmer. How dare you leave us out? We don't even count in the government statistic. You need to write your senator and your representative. Amen? Amen. So I took that. I went to another government agency. And when I looked at another government agency, boy, it was frightening. Now again, this may not mean anything to you, but it means a lot to me because I just love the farm. Did you know why they don't count farm labor in the government labor statistics? Is because government labor statistics counts U.S. citizens. Farm labor today is being carried out, and 85% of the farm labor are not U.S. citizens. They're migrant workers. Boy, I just kept reading. Now, and I'll tell you what most people think. Most people think the reason migrant workers do so much of the farm labor is because farmers don't pay good wages. So it's cheap labor. That's not true. I read an article, state of California, where the majority of our produce is raised. From January to June of this year, 1,166 jobs were placed to U.S. citizens over 21 years of age, paying $19 an hour. Last time I checked, that was a respectable wage. You know how many applied? 233. It's not about the money. You know what it's about? It's about, we don't want to do farm labor anymore. Because farm labor means you're going to be outside in a field where it's hot, and you're going to sweat, and you're going to get some blisters, and you're going to go home wore out. And U.S. citizens over 21 years of age just don't want to do that anymore. Do you know now migrant workers come into the United States starting out as farm laborers? You know what their desire is to be a construction laborer. We've taught the migrants to want an easier way of life. Now, that's not what this point's about. The point's about this. Why are there so few laborers in the church? Because it's hard work. And most of us here this morning are just lazy. We'd rather enjoy the benefit of what someone else is doing. Amen? Because you know what? If you sign up to be a Sunday school teacher, it's hard work. There might be a night you can't do what you normally do because you've got to spend hours in the Word of God. That's why some of us won't teach second graders and fourth graders and three-year-olds and 5 years old. It's hard work. Can't wear that new dress, can you? No, if you're going to take one of those jobs when you come to church, you've got to wear your work clothes. And that's not what Sunday's about. Sunday's about us getting dressed up looking good. And we've gotten soft. Boy, I'm telling you, Wednesday night, Awana, the harvest is plentiful. It's overabundant. Our preschool children's department have been so excited about moving out here. They moved out here, and guess what? They're already telling me they're out of room in some of the rooms. I'm thinking, how in the world did that happen? You know what they're already saying again? Brother Ricky, we need more workers. Will the workers who are the church ever measure up to the harvest? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. If I take this passage and understand it correctly, there's two kinds of people here this morning. You're either in the group that's called the harvest, or you're in the group that ought to be called a laborer. Now, which is it? How can we be part of the church all our life and never be moved to give? How can we follow a man who said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom for many? How can we follow a guy on the last night on earth? He stripped himself of his dignity and he bowed down and he washed the feet of his disciples. And have a bypass mentality, interstate mentality. To want to get here, get it, and then get out of here. And who you are, a church, never enter your mind rest of the week. You know what Jesus said to do? He told his disciples, he said, guys, pray. Now listen, this word for pray, it's not the normal word for pray. See, when I read my ESV version of the Bible, it says pray earnestly. So I'm thinking, okay, I got to look up and see what the word earnestly means. Well, there's not a word earnest in the Greek. This is just one word. Pray earnestly is one word. It's not the normal word for prayer. It's a special word for prayer that means to come before God with one need on your mind, one thing on your mind, and ask God for that thing. So do you hear what Jesus says? Let me tell you what Abby's doing. Let me tell you what Shelly's doing. Let me tell you what Corey's doing. Let me tell you what Chris is doing. Let me tell you what Matt's doing. Let me tell you what Danny's doing. These folks are praying to the Lord of the harvest. We're not to pray, Heavenly Father. We're praying to the Lord of the harvest. It's His harvest. People are His. Do you understand? You're not working for Abby. You're not working for Shelley. You're not working for Brother Ricky. You're not working for Awana. You're not working for the church. You are partnering with God in His harvest. He trusts you. He wants you. He told the disciples, pray to the Lord of harvest that He will, watch this, send forth. This word send forth means this. It means to compel. It means to thrust. It means to, I can't say it. Because it means to do it with force. This is not an invitation for you to get up out of your seat. It's God moving in your heart and compelling you. Kicking you out of your seat. And putting you in a place where you can be used to reap a harvest for God. Now I want to ask you this. What's your view of praying? Do you view praying as you getting from God what you want? Or do you view prayer as God getting from you what He wants? I view prayer primarily the second way. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, who is part of Hardin Baptist Church, you need to be praying, because I'm telling you the harvest is plentiful. I personally believe, as pastor, the laborers are few. So what I want you to do, I'm not telling you to sign up. I just want you to pray. And when you start praying, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get an impulse. You're going to feel something get a hold of you, and it's going to move you from where you are into where other people are. And I'll tell you who that is. It's God through His Spirit. Because our Father is not going to sit by and let a harvest ruin because of lack of labor. Will you be a laborer? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Before I pray, I want to ask you to do something. How many of you, while we were speaking, really got bothered a little bit? How many of you would join me in getting out of your seats and let's come right down here to these steps and let's fall on our faces and let's let our first prayer for laborers to God be right here in the step area of this church? How many of you would join me? Just get up out of your seat right now and let's come right down here and let's kneel at these steps and let's begin to pray. Now remember, we're praying. Primary focus is not what we want from God, even though that is what the word means. But when you go to God because you got something you want, you begin to realize the reason God put that on your heart is because God had something that He wanted from you. And it was in prayer. It was alone with Him in a time of intimacy that you discovered that. Who would just come down here and kneel and join us? This doesn't mean you're not a laborer. Doesn't mean you're sitting on the sidelines. Doesn't mean you're a bypasser. But it just means you're willing to take this message seriously and you're willing to say, Brother Ricky, I'll join you and Abby and Shelley and Corey and Chris and Matt and Danny and all of our heads of departments and join you guys in praying for the Lord to send us people who are willing to work. It's not about the pay. All the pay's out of this world. It really is. There's just nothing like the reward of seeing a life changed. I have a young lady that comes to my mind every time I think about our ministry here in Hardin. Of a young lady who came to church with another family. She came to know Christ. And today she's raising her family with her husband in the church, as the church. Wow. No, we can't see. Because we're not in. We're not around. We're just trying to get there. And when it's over, it's over. Father, we bow before You right now as Your church here in Hardin. And we're saying to you, we believe your words still apply. Not just to that crowd that hung around you in Galilee, but we believe the crowd that gathers here in Hardin. Overall, many of them get a skinning that we can't imagine. And they get beat down in ways that we can't comprehend. And many of us never notice it. We don't see the hurt in their eyes, because we never stop long enough to really, really see. That's why we're not moved. That's why we don't go home sick at our stomach. Not sick in a bad way, sick in a good way. A sickness that means we've been deeply moved. We're deeply concerned. We can't just go home and eat and shrug it off. We can't take a nap and it go away. It stays with us. Because it wasn't a feeling on our skin. It was a feeling down deep. Father, may today be the day that our labor shortage at Hardin ends. And the unemployment rate sink. And we be a church to where the laborers match the harvest potential. Father, we're excited. We love you. Father, we pray that our sense was correct. And that today is the day we needed to deliver this message. In your precious name we pray. We'll allow these to slip back to their seats. If you just remain with your head closed, your head bowed and your eye closed just for a few more minutes, let's let everyone get back to their seats. And all of God's people said, amen.